Good morning. It's good to be with you all here this morning. I trust that you're all walking in sunlight. Title for the message this morning is The Blessings of Obedience. I'm going to have a start with a number of questions here, then we'll get into the message, into some verses. The Blessings of Obedience. Question number one, does God ever withhold blessings from us because of our daily deeds or our actions or our lifestyle? And we can reword that and ask, is our normal routine of life hindering God's blessings to us? Now we're kind of touching on just our lifestyle or the way we do life. And the question is, are we doing things that are hindering God's flow of blessings to us? One evening a few months ago, I got home and I noticed that the gutter on our house was running over, and like I said, it was raining. Well, I grabbed a ladder and a step ladder because I don't like to see have it running over and how to get up there and clean those helicopters that come from the maple trees off the top of the gutter guard so the water could flow properly. Okay, that was done, and I went to put the ladder away, and like, oh no, the barn roof on the back of the barn, which is much, much higher, and that gutter's running over. I thought about ignoring that. It's like, who really cares? All right, so the rain slowed up just a little bit, and a car went by, and they probably thought, whoever that is, kind of weird, which they're correct. But anyway, I got a longer ladder, and I went up there, and the gutter was full, and right at the outlet, which is just a small outlet, it was full of garbage or dirt. So I cleaned that out, and everything was good again. And I say that to question, is there anything in our normal routine of life that is hindering the flow of God's blessings to us? And I think it's safe to say that we're all scheduled, well-organized people. Okay, we do have hiccups occasionally, but we kind of have our routine. We plan our days. We prefer structure while being flexible. And we have daily routines and habits, and we prefer to stay in our comfort zone. Maybe that was just me, but I like to stay in my comfort zone. And daily routines and habits are not all wrong. Obviously, not referring to bad habits. But the question is, I come back to it again, are we going through life with habits or a lifestyle that is causing God to frown and put our blessings on hold for time being? And that's kind of what we look at this morning. And there is a good, and maybe a hopefully a great possibility that your daily lifestyle is pleasing God, and God is just allowing his flow of blessings just to continue to flow on your life and on your family. So the message title is The Blessings of Obedience. Two quick points: the test and the result, and the second one is practical application. So the test and the result, and I'm going to start with another question. I'd like to get an answer from you if you can. Who is listed in the faith chapter, which is Hebrews 11? There are six verses written about this man. Six verses written about this man, but it's the same person that God withheld a blessing from. Any suggestions? Any answers? Moses. Thank you. What was the blessing that was withheld, Lee? Can you tell me that? Okay, now you just blew my whole message out of the water, but thank you. No, thank you. I figured you'd have an answer for me. Moses, and this is kind of tying in with our Sunday school lesson. It kind of ties in well with what we were talking about this morning here to a certain extent. But Moses, six verses. So if we go back there, we're not going to read those. But obviously, Moses was the man after God's heart, and Moses is one of those listed in the faith chapters. But when it comes to what Lee had mentioned, God told Moses, and we'll look at it shortly, Moses, you're not going into the promised land, and we'll get to that. And that's kind of, maybe it was good he said that, because when we're thinking about the blessings of obedience, and the question is there anything in our life that's hindering God, the flow of God's blessings to us? And we think about that case, that story that Lee's talking about, and we realize what had happened. But let's take a few minutes to look at the account of Moses and that he went through in his life, and that point out clearly the fact that God was with and God blessed Moses. A quick rundown. Remember his birth. The king commanded all the baby boys to be killed, but his parents hid him in a basket and floated him on the river, and the king's daughter found him and this young man grew up in the king's palace. If you fast forward, we'll jump through his life real quickly. Moses fled from Pharaoh after he killed the Egyptian, ended up being a shepherd in the wilderness for 40 years. A little bit later, Moses talked with God at the burning bush. Well, Moses was there herding his sheep, and he saw a bush that was burning. So he stopped and looked, why isn't this bush being consumed? And that's where God asked him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses' rod becomes a serpent. You think of these things that happen. You probably all carried a stick around as a walking stick. Did it ever turn into a snake? And the answer probably is no. Also, the same account there, Moses' hand became white with leprosy. Again, something we never experienced. But both of these happen when God was trying to convince Moses that he would be with him if he would lead his people out of Egypt. And then we find that Moses finally agreed, and Moses ends up talking to Pharaoh, and he tells Pharaoh, you need to let these children of Israel go. And Pharaoh continued to say, nope, it's not going to happen. And then the 10 plagues follow. First one, we have water becomes blood. Then we see the plague of frogs, then lice, flies, death of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn. And here we see how the Lord passed over the houses of the children of Israel because there was blood on the doorposts. And there we have the Passover. So Moses did lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the Lord was with them, as we talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school lesson, with that the cloud by day and the fire by night, so they could see where, I mean, he could guide them where they were going. Later we have Moses simply handing his rod, sticking out over the Red Sea, and the Lord parted the waters, and the children of Israel passed through on dry ground to escape the Egyptian army, which was close behind. That brings us to Exodus 14. Then in Exodus 15, we had the bitter waters are made sweet. And just looking at the miraculous accounts that happened in the life of Moses that prove without doubt how God was with him and God was blessing him over and over again. Amazing things were happening. Moses was, we could say, God's right-hand man for many years. But God withheld that blessing that we talked about, which we're going to look at shortly. Moving on, the children of Israel become hungry, and God told Moses he was going to feed the children of Israel with manna in the morning, quail in the evening. A Sunday school lesson here, but try feeding a hungry group of people, of over a million people, two meals a day. And God blessed them over and over again. The children of Israel become thirsty. Moses strikes a rock in Horeb, and water comes forth. Obviously, the mighty hand of God at work there. But we see Moses in the forefront following God's instructions. Takes us up to Exodus 17. We also read, just know the story about how they held up Moses' hands when they were fighting the battle, and the battle was won. What significant is that? The fact is that God was with them. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Actually, he gave them twice in Exodus 20, which is a account we look at often when we want to see the Ten Commandments. But we know that that table of Ten Commandments broke when Moses came down out of the mountain. So God gave him another tablet in Exodus 34. So just take time for a little bit and imagine being Moses here, the great leader, taking instruction from God, at the same time being very meek and humble. Moving on, Moses' face shone after talking with God. And now we're going to jump to Numbers chapter 20. We were in Numbers this morning, but if you want, you can turn to Numbers chapter 20. And in the first verse, here we see Moses' sister Miriam has died. And then verse 2, the children of Israel become thirsty again. And this time, they complained and rebelled against Moses. Let's read verses 2 through 5 of Numbers chapter 20. Again, verse 1, Miriam died and was buried there. Verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chose with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought this congregation, Lord, into this wilderness? And that we and our cattle should die there. And wherefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Is there no place of seed and figs and vines and pomegranates? Neither is there any water to drink. So we know the story, and for sake of time, I'm not going to go over it all, but I'd like just to point out one thing. A brother mentioned in our Sunday school lesson that the children of Israel back in Egypt were slaves. But after they were away from that slavery a little bit, in that one verse in our Sunday school lesson, they point out, remember all the leeks and the garlics and everything that we had, all the good stuff we had there? They tend to forget, and do we not sometimes as well, not to pick on them. But here, they're thirsty again, and they rebelled against Moses. Put yourself in his shoes on this day. And the children said, and Israel said some things, as I just read there, that were not very kind, not very gracious. However, we see a proper response from Moses and Aaron here in verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So Moses and Aaron did what was right here. They had a proper response. They took the problem to the Lord, and the Lord answered. Let's read verses 7 and 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give to the congregation and their beasts to drink. So here, this is the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses. Moses, take your rod. Have the children of Israel gather close by. Make sure Aaron's there with you. And what I see here is the Lord setting the stage for the children of Israel to see his power, his might, and his strength. I believe this was a big moment for the Lord in the lives of the children of Israel. They were complaining. They were wishing they were still back in slavery in Egypt. But the Lord here wanted to show them who he is. Basically, if you can look at it this way, children, stand by and get ready. The Lord's about to work in a mighty way. He gave Moses detailed instructions. Moses, I want the people close. They can witness firsthand what I'm about to do. Moses, I want you to speak to the rock in front of the children of Israel. Moses, simply talk to this rock, and I'm going to bring forth water so the children of Israel and all their cattle may have plenty to drink. And we see obedience in the first part of verse 9, the first half of 10. Verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock. So here we see obedience. We're talking about the blessings of obedience. Moses is carefully following instructions. The stage was set. The Lord was ready to do his work and bring water from the rock. So just put that on hold just for a moment. Another question for you here. I'd like to read a verse, Numbers 12. We're still in the book of Numbers. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now Moses, the man Moses, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. We're talking about Moses here this morning. And you go back to chapter 12, he was the meekest man. The question I have for you this morning, Lee, are you listening in case nobody else answers me? The question I have for you this morning, who wrote the book of Numbers? Anybody, not just Lee, it's all right. Moses. Let me read that verse again. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And it was mentioned to me later that someone said, well, sometimes when men write these books, the Bible, some people add some things to it. And I certainly hope that somebody added that verse in there, but it's good. But Moses was very meek, humble, and gentle. So think about Moses being meek, and look at the rest of verse 10. So the picture of the people gathered around, and Moses is about ready to speak to this rock. And this is what he said. He said unto them, hear ye now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock? Moses called the children of Israel rebels, probably not the place where he got the reputation for being meek. Then it appears that Moses lost his focus for a few moments. He said, must we get water out of the rock? We referring to himself and his brother Aaron. And this comment was taking God out of the equation. It was like Moses putting himself ahead of God, claiming that he himself has the strength and power that was needed to get water from the rock. Back in Horeb, God did tell Moses to strike the rock, and Moses obeyed and he got water. Here in verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Moses was told to speak to the rock, but he hit it. He struck the rock twice. The result was the same as it was in Horeb. Water came forth, and the people drank. End of story? Unfortunately not. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Exactly what Lee had mentioned earlier. Moses disobeyed God by striking the rock instead of speaking to it. A few things to notice here. Moses is the one who hit the rock, as we see, but Moses and Aaron are both listed together in the punishment. The Lord said, Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. The brothers did not trust in God. They were thinking that it took the action of hitting the rock to get water, thinking that speaking to the rock would have been insufficient, and thus displaying their lack of faith in God. Their action failed to represent God as a holy one in the sight of the children of Israel. And the punishment? You will not enter the promised land. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I'd like to read a few verses from Deuteronomy 32. Verses 48 to 52. Deuteronomy 32, 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. So just pause there for a moment. The Lord's telling Moses, more instructions follows. Okay, Moses, go up to this certain mountain, and from up top there, you can be able to look out and see the land of Canaan. He says, and behold the land of Canaan. You can look at this, which I'm going to give unto the children of Israel. Then the instructions continue in verse 50. The Lord tell Moses, Moses, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in the Mount Hor, and was gathered into his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, ye shall see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give to the children of Israel. Moses, go up to the mountain. Again, look at the beautiful land that I promised the children of Israel. That's where they are headed. But for you, Moses, verse 50, you're going to die here on top of this mountain. But notice why the Lord did not mention it's because he hit the rock two times. Moses, the reason is you trespassed against me among the children of Israel. Moses, you actually broke faith with me in the midst of the children of Israel, and you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people. And I look at this account and narrow it down to this. One mistake made when the time when stress levels were running high, and a punishment was given that will never be changed. A few questions. Was Moses a great leader? And I think we would all admit, absolutely, Moses was a great leader. Did God use his servant Moses in a mighty way? And absolutely, here again, God used Moses in a mighty way. But God did not cast him out of his sight forever, but God did withhold the blessing of allowing Moses to enter the Canaan land. And now we get to the question, what can we learn here? And I like just to say that God requires obedience. When we think about going through our lives and think about things that we do, habits that we have, lifestyle that we're holding, are we obedient to God? Take a moment to go back again to the birth of Moses. The king's instructions were to kill him, but God was with him from day one. and protected him for 120 years until he died. Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Basically, he's had the strength of his youth, you could say. But he died at 120 years. And we look at the account, and we think Moses could have said. Moses could have said, God, look at all that I did for you. God, I led this rebellious people for 40 years. Please allow me to step foot in the promised land. But God told Moses, you can look, but you cannot touch. Moses could almost be referred to as a miracle man when we think of all the things that we talked about. But God said, you will not enter Canaan because of your actions in the midst of a stressful situation. And we could look at this and we could say, well, this is a harsh punishment. But what it comes down to is that when God speaks, we need to listen. Obedience surpasses our good deeds. We can't go through life and say, well, God, I deserve this because of what I did. No. Obedience surpasses our good deeds. So what can we learn again? That God delights in obedience. Moving on, after the death of Moses, Joshua becomes a new leader in the children of Israel. We know that story as well. And the miracles continue as they carefully follow God's direction. They cross the Jordan River on dry ground. Destroy Jericho. How? By marching around it a number of times. Does that... If you would march around this church building seven times, would the building fall down? Most likely not. Here again, we see God's hand at work as they were doing exactly what God told them to do. In Joshua 6, we see the city of Jericho was devoted to the Lord for destruction. Okay? Which that city was supposed to be completely destroyed. Complete destruction except for Rahab and those that were with her. And the Bible tells us that the silver and gold were to be taken to the treasury of the Lord. So the house of Rahab and some silver and gold, the rest of the city was supposed to be destroyed. Again, the story we know, Achan saw and took, which was complete disobedience in God's command. And 36 men died, plus Achan and his entire family were stoned. Achan took something that was dedicated to the Lord and paid a high price. That's the battle of Jericho. Now, the very next battle was the city of Ai. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Here at this battle, the Lord said, yeah, you're allowed to take from the spoil of this city. So, Jericho, completely destroyed, take nothing. The very next battle, you can take the spoil if you wish. And you're not going to die. And I had to ask the question, why did 36 families lose a loved one after Achan's sin, and now they were free to gather the spoil from the very next city and live? Why? Does this sound reasonable? And possibly not. But the answer to the question why is simply because God said so. If we're talking about obeying God and following clear direction, we need to follow everything that he says. And what can we learn here? And that is that God blesses obedience. Moses withheld glory and honor that was due to God, and punishment followed. Achan took something that was dedicated to the Lord, and he lost everything. And as the song goes, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, doing exactly as the Lord commands. So we go back and we think a little bit about our deeds, our acts, our lifestyle, just the way we're doing life. Is there anything that we're doing that's hindering God's flow of blessings? We get to the second point, practical application. And I ask again, is God withholding any blessings from us because of our lifestyle? And what can we learn from what we looked at here this morning thus far? And that is that disobedience will affect those around us. And the very thought that 36 men, innocent men, lost their lives to the disobedience of one man should rivet that fact in our minds. Disobedience will affect those around us. Secondly, God will not bless disobedience. And on top of that, disobedience removes God's peace from our lives. You go through life, and if you're living in obedience, that peace of God is in your heart. And the opposite is also the same. Disobedience will remove God's peace. Think about our daily deeds, our actions, habits, if you can call them that, our lifestyle, or even our reputation. are we committing anything that would cause God to withhold the blessing? And just a short list of questions to consider. Are we holding any hard or bitter feelings towards someone? Is there any bitterness within us here this morning? Do we listen to ungodly music, music that God would not approve? You might say, well, that's just no one else is around. Yeah, but God knows we're doing that. Who knew that Achan took that stuff and hid it in his tent other than God? God saw that, and look what happened there. And no one knew it, but God did. Do we listen to ungodly music that God would not approve? Do we have the reputation of being an angry person? And I threw that in there. I put that in there because was Moses struggling with anger when he hit the rock? And I think I said it twice. I'll say it the third time. I think Moses was in a very stressful situation. We probably all found ourselves there. But was Moses angry when he did that? And I asked that question, and I asked, do we have the reputation or we struggle with anger in our lives? What about, think about things that would hinder God's flow of blessings. What about our unwholesome views on the internet? Another one that we talked about a little bit this morning is, do we lack gratitude? The Bible tells us to give thanks for everything. Okay, can I pick on the children of Israel for a moment? What about even manna? Is there, do you have manna in your life? Over and over, repetition. God, I'm tired of this. I want something different. Do we complain? Which Sunday school lesson was asking us. Are we shortchanging God with our personal devotional time? You know, if we don't have time to for a quiet time with God, what's taking our time? What is more of a higher priority? How are we doing with our prayer time? Is God pleased with our time of communication with Him? Things that could be hindering His the blessings that God wants to give us. How are we spending our free time? And I have down late nights alone with phone or computer. And the question is God withholding His blessings from us because of our screen time? I think the computer and the internet right now is a big thing, a big hindrance in lives. Hopefully not here this morning. But is God withholding His blessings from us because of that? Are our actions hindering the flow of His blessings, like that dirt I was talking about that was in the gutter? And the verses here in Deuteronomy 38 to 52 is what inspired the message this morning. I think we would all agree that Moses was a great leader. I think we would agree that Moses set good examples for us to follow. And God led him as he led the children of Israel. And miracle after miracle followed. But being the great leader that he was, God told Moses, you're going to die on this mountain because of that one act of disobedience. You know, brothers and sisters, obedience to God is of utmost importance. God withheld a blessing from Moses for his act of disobedience. And what the challenge I'd like to leave with us, are we carefully obeying the Lord as we go through our lives? And yes, we're living in the day of grace, but God forbid that we should continue to live in sin because grace is abounding. And when we're thinking about blessings, a fact remains is that the Lord wants to bless His people. I believe the Lord wanted Moses and Aaron to go into the land of Canaan. I think that was His desire, His goal. That's what He wanted. But that did not happen. So the desire of the Lord is to bless you. And we ask, are you living in obedience to His word? Are we men and women after God's heart? Is our heartbeat in unison with the heart of God? So this is obviously not counsel service, but take time to do a diligent search of your life, your daily deeds, your actions, your habits, your lifestyle, and making sure we're living pure, holy lives for the Lord. Recently, I washed a vehicle, and then I took a synthetic clay bar over it and wiped it dry again, and waxed it, waited that was dry, and wiped it the third time. And when you take the time to do this, you see all the imperfections in your vehicle, and you try to remove them one spot at a time. You get close, and you kind of scratch it if you see something you don't like, and try to remove it, so hoping for a nice finished product. And that is the way we should be in our spiritual lives. We need to be striving for purity and perfection in the eyes of God. Striving for purity and perfection in the eyes of God. Our desire should be that when God looks down upon our lives, he sees a clean, a spotless, and a pure heart, one that is free from all impurities. And you may wash your car every week if you feel that necessary, but when you take the time for that deep cleaning, you begin to remove the stubborn spots and stains. And so it is in our spiritual lives. We need to take time and ask God what we need to remove. Maybe there's something we need to clean up or something to wipe away so we can be pure in his sight. Or maybe we could refer to this process as house cleaning. You know, you may dust your house week after week and wash the floors, but possibly once a year or so you feel, you know, maybe it's time for a deep house cleaning, and more energy is applied to remove those stubborn spots and stains. And it's during these times that you take a closer look at the imperfections and you do what is necessary to remove or clean what may have been there for too long. And a clean product is the result. And I believe that is exactly what God desires for each one of his children. Men, you may be out cleaning the car. Women, you may be cleaning the house. Or maybe you just help each other with that, which would be perfect. But sometimes we just stop and we do that scrubbing to get rid of all the spots. And then so it can be pure and so it can be clean. That's exactly what God wants for you and for me. Questions. Are we living with a pure heart? Are we people of integrity? Now this goes to business dealings or whatever we're dealing with. Do we embrace godly living? Are we rejoicing in the faith that we found in Jesus Christ? Are we faithfully passing on the torch of faith? If being pure in the eyes of God is so important, are we passing that on to the next generation? A question that came from our Sunday school lesson, that Gerald taught well, are we content? We could dwell upon that for a while, but he did this morning and taught well. Are we content with what we have? Are we diligently setting a good example for others to follow? Are we allowing our light to shine? Are we consistently being a godly leader? We're all leaders to a certain extent. If people would follow our example, would the world be a better place? Women, are we the virtuous women that we read about in Proverbs 31? That takes it to a high standard, I understand. Are our eyes searching the skies for the Lord's return? Which would indicate that we're looking forward to that day. And I say that to get to the fact the Lord does not want to withhold his blessings from his children. The Lord does not want to do that. That's why I said I do believe that the Lord wanted Moses to enter the promised land, but because of his actions, the Lord said, you will be in Hebrews 11, but you're not going to be in the promised land. Is there something small in our life that we need to clean up? Are we faithfully following God's commands? And when we do that, it's going to allow God to maintain his flow of blessings upon our lives. And when nothing is hindering that flow, we will experience the blessings of obedience. Let's stand for our prayer. After prayer, Ben, if we can have a closing song, and after that you can be dismissed. Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Moses. And thank you, Lord, how we can learn from his example. But also, Lord, I pray that each heart and soul here this morning could be obedient to your word, to your command. I pray, God, that we can remove anything that hinders the flow of your blessings upon our lives. And we can live pure, holy lives for you, God. So be with us as we go about our days. Help us not to let anything in our daily lifestyle hinder the flow of blessings, Lord, but pray that we can be godly men and women during your will. Dismiss us with your blessing, and may your peace rest upon us. In your name we pray. Amen.